Welcome to episode number 491 of the Sports Report. I'm Paul Roberts on GrizzlyProductions.tv. New shows every Monday on The Grizz. The show is also free in the podcast section of iTunes, and you can follow me on Twitter. I'm at TheSportsRPT. That's my handle on Twitter. Love your feedback there, TheSportsRPT. And keep those five-star reviews coming if you're listening on iTunes. This weekend was nuts. 11 underdogs covered in the NFL. 9 of them won outright, counting the Eagles last Thursday. And in college football, 4 top 10 teams went down. How about the Cuse? My Orange shock number 2 Clemson as a 23-point dog. The NBA is back Tuesday night. You get Boston at Cleveland and Houston at Golden State. You have to be pumped for that. I'll have the odds to win the NBA title coming up and my finals prediction. Plus, never forget, good pitching beats good hitting. And I'm all for these low-scoring playoff games. I love the late-inning drama where you're on the edge of your seat for every single pitch. I don't need a 10-7, 11-8 type of game. 2-1, I'm just fine with that. And is it true that a small child was discovered in Justin Turner's beard? I mean, that dude looks like Grizzly Adams. It's like he went hiking and got lost for about, 5 years. Man, oh man, whenever he gets that cut, I hope he tips his barber well. All coming up on episode 491 of the Sports Report. I promise you, I may not have the biggest name in the business, but you will get more pure information here with some humor mixed in, but no homerism. You'll get more of that in the next 30 to 40 minutes than any other podcast out there. We're with you every Monday on The Grizz and, of course, in iTunes. Last few weeks, I've started the show talking about injuries. This week is no different. We had J.J. Watt. We had Odell Beckham Jr. We had Dalvin Cook, the rookie running back for the Vikings. And now, Aaron Rodgers. Packers got devastating news Sunday. Rodgers has a broken collarbone, could miss the rest of the season. This is a big-time punch to the gut if you're a cheesehead. The NFL has already lost some major star power, and we're not even halfway through the season. I did not have a problem with Anthony Barr's tackle. I don't know about you. Rodgers was out of the pocket. It wasn't helmet to helmet. He wasn't going low. You know, some guys wrapping up around the knees. None of that. No flag was thrown, and I was okay with it. You hate to see anyone get hurt. But I did not think that Barr's hit was over the top or dirty. Rodgers could not brace himself, and Barr's weight came down on his right shoulder. Aaron did have some choice words for Barr as he was leaving the field, and you could be Inspector Gadget and figure out what he was saying right there. But again, it was not a dirty play to me. This is football, not tiddlywinks. It's a violent sport. It's a collision sport. I call it a human train wreck, and guys are bigger, faster, and stronger than ever before. Players get hurt all the time. It's unfortunate, but that's part of the deal. Green Bay, 4-2 after a 23-10 loss at Minnesota. Brett Hundley took over. He was 18-33, 157 yards, a touchdown, 3 interceptions. He was also sacked 4 times, took some punishment back there. Let's keep it 100, as the kids like to say. Packers are done. You know, I mean, without Rodgers, they're done. He's a future Hall of Fame quarterback. He's one of the best ever at the most important position by far. He makes them go. He is the reason that they're a contender. He's the reason we talk about Green Bay. That defense with that silly Nitro nickname, please, far from elite. Look how they could not get off the field late in the game against Dallas. That was like a 37-minute drive by the Cowboys. I mean, we're not talking about the Broncos defense from a couple years ago that won a Super Bowl or the Ravens defense with Ray Lewis. Not even close. Plus, Packers have a bazillion injuries. I mean, their luck with injuries this year has been downright awful. Rough time for the Pack, that's for sure. Vikings were just one of nine underdogs that won outright this week. If you want to be successful picking NFL games, just a little tidbit here from your good old friend Paul. You have to take dogs. You have to. Period. End of story. And I know it's hard to do. I have a tough time doing it as well. But you can't live on the chalk in the National Football League. There's just too much parity in this league for that. The public loves favorites. And I tend to go with favorites. But that's why Vegas cleans up when it comes to wagering on the National Football League. You got to look at these underdogs. I mean, look at the Giants. No wide receivers left. Everybody's hurt. Five other starters were out. No running game before Sunday night. A bad offensive line. DRC is suspended. Can't get along with the coach. They're on the road. Hostile environment versus a terrific defense. Maybe the best in the league. And what happens? The Giants win 23-10 over Denver as a 13-point underdog? What? And this is why we love sports, though. There's no script. You just never know what's going to happen. We think we know a lot of times, but we don't really know. This is another great example of that. Trevor Siemian with a pick six late in the second quarter. Then he dives. He hurts himself. He did come back in the game. Janoris Jenkins took it to the house, made it 17-3. And right there and then, you knew the Broncos were in trouble. Because the way their offense is playing. They have some games, and I mentioned this on Twitter, at the Sports RPT. Sometimes it looks like they're playing on a field that's 200 yards long. I mean, seriously. That offense. Ugh. Trouble in the red zone, missing field goals. They had three turnovers, and the defense gave up 150 rushing yards. This game made zero sense. New York finally on the board with a win at 1-5. Denver 3-2. How about Atlanta blowing a 17-0 lead at home to a Miami squad with a horrendous offense? I mean, they could not get out of their own way on the offensive side of the football. And the Falcons were outscored 20-0 in the second half. Jay Cutler, two touchdown passes. Cody Parkey nailed a go-ahead 38-yard field goal with 2.5 minutes left. Atlanta was driving for a tying field goal at least, maybe a touchdown. And Matt Ryan tries to go over the middle to his tight end. It's deflected, picked off with 39 seconds to go, and that is that. Ryan has 6 interceptions in the last 3 games. And they now go to New England Sunday night for a Super Bowl rematch. Atlanta and Miami both 3-2. Steelers looked miserable versus the Jaguars last week. 5 interceptions for Big Ben. So, of course, they traveled to Kansas City, one of the toughest places to play in the league, and they beat the undefeated Chiefs, coached by Andy Reid, who's one of the best coaches in the league. Pittsburgh actually let Kansas City hang around in this game. It could have been much worse than 19-13. Steelers had 11 more first downs, nearly 200 more yards. They had the football 36 and a half minutes and only won by 6. Le'Veon Bell, who wanted more carries, he went off. He got 32 carries. He can't complain. 179 yards for Bell. Antonio Brown, who was throwing Gatorade jugs around a couple weeks ago. He had 8 catches, 155 yards, and a wild touchdown. Did you see this play? Pass to the left sideline. I thought it was going to get picked. Somehow, it gets through the defender, gets to Brown, and ends up as a 51-yard touchdown down the sideline to make it 19-10. Now, the Chiefs did not mail it in. It wasn't a UPS special. They actually had a shot with under 2 minutes, but the veteran James Harrison got a clutch sack on 3rd and 10. This guy is 39, and I still think he's one of the baddest dudes on the planet. If you're in a dark alley, you want James Harrison on your side. And he doesn't play a whole lot, but he got that big sack. Pittsburgh, 4-2, so Steelers Nation can relax a little bit. Although now we hear Martavis Bryant reportedly requested a trade, not getting enough targets. I mean, this from a guy who is back from a one-year drug suspension. I don't know that I'd be complaining. Kansas City's 5-1, so no unbeaten teams left in the National Football League. Derek Carr returned for Oakland, so they were going to handle the Chargers at home, right? Wrong. LA won 17-16. You know, if it's the Chargers, it's coming down to the end. It's going to be a three-point game or less. Nick Novak, a 32-yard field goal as time expired. And I'll tell you what, the Vegas insiders were right about the Raiders. I have to give them credit. They predicted a step back, and here is Oakland at 2-4. That's the same record as the Chargers. Raiders went up 16-14 with 8 minutes remaining on an end around with Patterson that went for 47 yards. Great call. But, and this is a Fat Albert size but, the extra point was no good. Kicking in the NFL is appalling. It really is. And it's on a weekly basis. Carr only threw for 171 yards, touchdown, 2 interceptions. But you get the extra point. At worst, you're going to overtime there. Instead, they lose by one. This is a bad, bad loss for the Raiders. The Jets jumped out to a 14-0 lead on the Patriots? Huh? I mean, you can't make this stuff up. New England came back, though, and went up 10, and then it got really nutty. Austin Seferian Jenkins looked like he caught a short touchdown pass. Officials reviewed it and called it a touchback. Jets fans went bonkers, and you heard all the conspiracy talk on social media. He definitely lost control of the football, but it appeared that he regained control of the ball and it never hit the ground. I was shocked that they changed this call because usually if it's iffy, if it's not clear, if it's not obvious, usually they just stick with the call on the field. Well, they changed the original call and it went from a touchdown to a touchback. The Patriots hung on 24-17. Tom Brady got regular season win number 187. That's a new record. He had been tied with a couple guys, you know, Peyton Manning and Brett Favre. Perhaps you've heard of them. New England 4-2. The Jets 3-3. One game separates all four teams in that division. We're used to seeing the Patriots just pull away. You want nuts? The Saints were up 45-10 in the third quarter. They were up 35 points. And the Lions, with 6.5 minutes to play, were within a touchdown. That's right. And they had the football. But Cam Jordan, the defensive lineman, came up with a pick six in the end zone. And New Orleans won 52-38. Why weren't we all in the over here? I like the Saints, but everybody should have been on the over. That was one of three defensive scores for the Saints. That's a franchise record. The Lions also had a pick six and a 74-yard punt return touchdown, both in the fourth quarter. And you know, Detroit, Lions always make it interesting late. 8 combined turnovers in this game, 4 defensive touchdowns. Man, oh man, what else can happen? And the Saints have a winning record at 3-2 for the first time since 2013. That really surprised me. Really surprised me there. I haven't had a winning record since 2013 with Drew Brees. Detroit slips to 3-3. Arizona was up 31-0 on Tampa Bay, and then Ryan Fitzpatrick, the Ivy Leaguer, led a near comeback. He was in for Jameis Winston, who had a shoulder injury back in the second quarter. X-rays were negative. Fitzpatrick threw for 290 yards, three touchdowns, and the Bucs, who were down 31, got within five with 2 minutes left. Larry Fitzgerald recovered the onside kick, and that iced it. Carson Palmer completed 14 straight passes, 18 of 22, 283 yards, three touchdowns, one interception. Recently acquired Adrian Peterson made some guys look silly. How about AP in this game? 134 yards, two touchdowns in his Cardinals debut. The 32-year-old looked sharp. He was doing some damage. Arizona 3-3, Tampa Bay 2-3. The Bucs are in last place in the NFC South. I mean, there's some talent there. That team should be better. The Redskins nearly coughed up a big lead as well. They were in control at 17-0. You think they're going to cruise? 49ers came all the way back to tie it up. Kirk Cousins ran 7 yards for a score. That was a great play call. 9-point lead with 3.5 minutes to go. But San Francisco kept on coming with C.J. Beathard, the rookie out of Iowa, replacing Brian Hoyer. 49ers had the football, needing a field goal to win. But Kendall Fuller picked off Beathard on fourth down. That was that. Not a great W for Washington, by any stretch of the imagination. I would not be doing cartwheels and somersaults here if I'm a Redskins fan. 26-24 was the final. You need to put that game away. San Francisco is the first team ever to lose 5 straight games by 3 points or less. I mean, is that incredible or what? They have 5 losses by a combined 13 points. Ouch. I feel for our buddy Carl, who has been a loyal, loyal listener to the Sports Report podcast for many, many years and follows me on Twitter at the Sports RPT. Close, but no cigar. That is the MO of the 49ers this season. Chicago was in front by 14 in the third quarter at Baltimore. Bobby Rainey then took a kickoff 96 yards to the house. Then after a 90-yard pick six by the Bears' Adrian Amos, the Ravens answered with a 77-yard punt return score to tie it with 1.5 minutes remaining. Again, wacky stuff. 2 special teams touchdowns for Baltimore. However, in overtime, Jordan Howard ripped off a 53-yard run. Terrible, terrible tackling by Eric Weddle, who is a veteran safety in this league. He's trying to strip the football. Instead of wrapping up, Howard breaks loose, and bam, he's down the left sideline for 53 yards. Bad job by Weddle. And how about the Rook? Mitchell Trubisky found Kendall Wright for 18 yards. Big pass play there. Set up the game-winning 40-yard field goal from Connor Barth. Just like saying Barth. That came with 2 minutes left in overtime. 167 yards on 36 carries for Howard. Trubisky, a modest 8 of 16, only 113 yards and a touchdown, but their ground game was working, so don't stop. Chicago 2-4, Baltimore 3-3. Texans took care of the lowly Browns 33-17. The rookie out of Clemson was added again. Deshaun Watson becomes the first rookie with at least 3 touchdown passses in 3 straight games. 225 yards for him on the day. He's up to 15 touchdown passes already. Kevin Hogan, 3 interceptions for Cleveland, including a pick six. He was in for Deshaun Kizer. Browns are 1-21 under Hugh Jackson. Houston and New Orleans, by the way, the only 2 favorites to cover. Finally, the Jaguars lost at home to the Rams, 27-17. Farrow Cooper took the opening kick, 103 yards for a score. I don't know about you. I'm always yelling at these guys, take a knee. take an E. Don't bring it out. Because it always seems like they get caught around the 10 or the 15-yard line when they bring it out. But he went the distance. And then Malcolm Brown scored on a blocked punt return. So L.A. gets two special teams touchdowns. You do that, you should win. Todd Gurley ran for 116 yards. Leonard Fournette, the rookie at LSU, rumbled for a 130 and a score, but it wasn't enough. LA 4-2, and listen to this, 3-0 on the road. Not easy to win on the road in the National Football League, but Rams are getting it done. Jacksonville 3-3 from 1 week to the next. You never know what the heck they're going to do. But the big news, of course, the injury to Aaron Rodgers, which opens up the NFC even more. Philadelphia is at 5-1. Now, I live just outside of Philly. My radio station has carried the Eagles for many, many years. I picked them at 9-7. I thought they'd be improved, but I thought the schedule was tough. And here they are at 5-1. And now they have a nice stretch of home games coming up. And they just won at Carolina, who was hot with Cam Newton on fire. The only loss for the Eagles at Kansas City. Certainly not a bad loss there. Carson Wentz sure looks like a franchise quarterback. The front seven defensively, very tough. They dominated the line of scrimmage against the Panthers with Fletcher Cox and Timmy Jernigan and company, Brandon Graham up there as well. Safeties are really good. Corners are the issue for the Eagles. But if you're getting pressure, that can help out your corners. So who do you think's the best team in the NFC right now? I would have to go Eagles at 5-1 with Rodgers being out, with Atlanta blowing that big lead at home to Miami. Seattle has been underwhelming. You never know what they're going to do. I think you have to look to Philadelphia. And the other thing I want to know, do you believe like I do that the Packers are done? Is this it for Green Bay, even though we're in mid-October? Let me know on Twitter at TheSportsRPT, TheSportsRPT on Twitter. This is episode number 491 of the Sports Report podcast. I told you we have a lot to get to. College football next, then the NBA, Major League Baseball as well. 30 to 40 minutes, fast-paced, high-energy, opinionated sports talk without the homerism that you're used to. So we roll on. College football, number two Clemson falls to the Cuse, 27-24 at the Dome Friday night. Party time on Marshall Street. Not that I would know anything about that. Mom, if you're listening, I was always at the library on those Friday and Saturday nights when I didn't answer the phone. I'll be honest, I never ever thought that the Orange had a shot in this game. In fact, I was telling my friends that I thought the line at 23.5 was low. The Tigers had won 11 straight games. They're the defending champs. Now, that was the longest winning streak in the country. Quarterback Kelly Bryant suffers a concussion late in the first half. Got slammed to the turf. He had been dealing with an ankle injury, so a rough season for Bryant. Clemson's defense gave up 440 yards. Big plays all over the place. Missed assignments. I have been through some very, very lean years since I graduated from Syracuse. When I was there, Donovan McNabb was the quarterback. You had Marvin Harrison at wide receiver. I mean, you had a lot of NFL talent. Some good teams. After I graduated, it has been tough. So I can finally get excited again about Syracuse football. And they played LSU very tough, but I was not expecting this. What a win. What a win for the Cuse. Number eight, Washington State also went down on Friday. This was not close. Cal rolled 37-3. The Bears were 3-3 going in, but they did play USC tough. I remember talking about that game. Luke Falk, who's a really good quarterback for Washington State, 5 interceptions. 7 turnovers for the Cougars. Number five, Washington lost at Arizona State, 13-7. Nothing new here for the Huskies. They have dropped 7 in a row out in Tempe. They just can't win at Arizona State. Sun Devils had given up at least 30 points in 11 straight games. Washington was averaging 43 points, and they score 7? Unreal. Missed field goals also hurt, but I can't believe that score. 13-7? Whew. Number 10, Auburn, blew a 20-0 lead against LSU. A 75-yard punt return touchdown early in the fourth quarter got LSU within 2 points. That was a gigantic play right there. LSU wound up winning 27-23. Both these teams 5-2. Number 1, Alabama destroyed Arkansas 41-9. Georgia beat Missouri 53-28. That was actually 14-all after a quarter. TCU took care of K-State 26-6. Good win for TCU. Wisconsin held off Purdue 17-9. Purdue is an improving team, but Wisconsin at home, not impressive. Ohio State crushed Nebraska 56-14. The Buckeyes are putting up a lot of points. Miami rallied to beat Georgia Tech 25-24. Tight one for the U. Oklahoma got a 59-yard touchdown pass. They got the tight end free down the sideline. 7 minutes left, and the Sooners top Texas 29-24. I know it's a big rivalry game, obviously, but is beating Texas that big of a deal if you are supposed to be a national title contender? I mean, this isn't the Texas of old. They're a 500 team. So, you know, if I'm an Oklahoma fan, yes, you're happy that you won, but I thought they could have played a lot better than that. USC snuck past Utah 28-27. The Trojans trailed in this one 21-7. And then late in the game, they stopped Utah's two-point conversion try with only 42 seconds to go. Quarterback Troy Williams scrambled around for the Utes, but came up about a yard short. Michigan needed overtime to beat Indiana 27-20. Wolverines were 2 of 13 on third down. That offense, man, it is tough to watch sometimes. Now they go to Penn State Saturday night. That place is going to be rocking and rolling. You have a great offense with Saquon Barkley, who's got to be the Heisman favorite, best running back in the country, against that great Michigan defense. That is a good one to watch in prime time. Top five teams now in the AP poll. Alabama 1, Penn State 2, Georgia 3, TCU 4, and Wisconsin 5. The only juggernaut in that group is Alabama. Remember, Penn State almost lost to Iowa, and I know it was a night game, but Iowa's not great. Wisconsin struggles with Purdue. Bama, to me, clearly the best team, and I don't think it's close. I really don't. What do you think? Let me know on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. This is Alabama's national championship, unless, you know, they get upset. But they're the best team. I mean, sometimes you have a bad night. They are the best team. No debate about that. You may differ. Let me know on Twitter again at TheSportsRPT. You know I'm a basketball junkie, so we got to get to hoops here on episode number 491. The NBA season right around the corner. I'll give you the odds to win the championship in a second, but when I look at the conferences, I think only two teams from the East can get to the finals. Cleveland and Boston. That's it. When I look out west, I've got my Fab Four. The Warriors, the Thunder, the Rockets, and the Spurs. So those are my Super Six teams right there. Cleveland and Boston in the East, and then the Warriors, Thunder, Rockets, and Spurs. That's your Super Six. Golden State is an overwhelming favorite. 5-12 odds to win another NBA championship, and why not? They've won two titles in 3 years. You have Durant, you have Curry, you have Thompson, you have Green. I mean, they're loaded. You have veterans like Iguodala, who can guard multiple positions, and David West. You have Livingston. I mean, the team is loaded. Cleveland's next at 4-1 odds. They lost to the Warriors in 5 games in the finals. Of course, we had the big trade. Isaiah Thomas, the point guard, goes to the Cavs, but he's got the hip injury. They expect him back in January. This was the third leading scorer in the NBA. He's averaging 29 points a game. You have LeBron, and if people say he's too old or he's nearing the end, Go watch the finals again. The dude averaged a triple-double in the NBA finals. D. Wade reunited with LeBron. He's 35. Derrick Rose is going to run the point until Isaiah Thomas gets back. Kyrie Irving, gone. You still have Love, and they're going to play him more at the center position. And they have veterans, you know, like Korver and J.R. Smith, who can shoot the three, and Frye as well. So they're the second choice. Then you have the Celtics as the third choice at 10-1. They lost to the Cavs 4-1 in the Eastern Finals a year ago, but this is a different team. Kyrie Irving goes to Boston. Gordon Hayward leaves Utah for Boston. He is an underrated player. People just don't get to see him play. You have Al Horford there on the front line with Boston and some young bucks, players to watch, Jaylen Brown and also Jason Tatum. So a nice mix there in Boston. They're going to be really good. Then you have three teams who are listed at 16-1. Houston, OKC, San Antonio. Houston adds CP3. So you have James Harden and Chris Paul in the backcourt. Wow. They lost to the Spurs in the Western semis last year, 4-2. I just don't know that there's a whole lot after those two players. OKC mixed it up, getting Paul George and Carmelo Anthony. This is a group that lost the Rockets in 5 in the Western quarterfinals, but now a much, much different team. It's about stars in the NBA. That's what it is, star power. And they have their big three, Westbrook, George, and Melo. We'll see how they play together. And then you have Steven Adams in the middle at center who can do, you know, the little stuff, the blue-collar work there. San Antonio got swept by Golden State in the Western Finals, but did win 61 games. You know how much respect I have for Coach Popovich and the Spurs. Year in and year out, they're not going to be on SportsCenter, not going to be on the highlight shows, but they know how to play the game the right way. They share the ball, and they win consistently. High basketball IQ when you look at San Antonio. Tony Parker is going to be out until December or January with a torn quad tendon. You have Kawhi Leonard, one of my favorite players in the league, just goes out there and plays. He doesn't say a word. He's not looking to get on, you know, the top 10 plays. He can guard. Really, really good defensive player. One of the best, if not the best, in the league. I want to see more consistency from LaMarcus Aldridge in the postseason. You know, he's 32 years old now. Pau Gasol is 37. Manu Ginobili still on the team at 40 years old. So it's a good, solid, well-coached team. Just can't see them winning at all. So they're all at 16-1. San Antonio, Oklahoma City, and Houston. And then you go way down. You have the Wizards at 40-1 with that backcourt that I like with Wall and Beal. Gortat at center. Otto Porter Jr. at Georgetown improved last year. Career high 13 points a game, 16 boards. And he shot 52%, which I like. He was efficient there. But they lost to Boston in the Eastern Semis a year ago. I could see that happening again. That series did go 7. The Timberwolves at 50-1. Man, oh man, did they change up the roster. They added Jimmy Butler, Jeff Teague, Jamal Crawford, and Taj Gibson. They already had Karl Anthony Towns, one of the best young players in the game, and Andrew Wiggins. So that is a formidable team in Minnesota. They were 31-51 last year. That's not going to happen again. They're going to flip that around. Toronto was listed at 80-1 with DeRozan and Lowry and Ibaka. It's a nice trio there, especially in the East. They got swept by Cleveland in the Eastern semis. You know, teams like the Wizards and the Raptors, they're nice teams. They're not great teams. And I can't see those teams beating Cleveland or Boston now that you have Kyrie and Gordon Hayward in Boston. Some other squads, Sixers and Bucks, both listed at 60-1. Again, in Philadelphia, there's a lot of hype. I mean, they have sold out every home game. It is amazing, the interest from the trust the process crowd. They have all these lottery picks, all these young players. You know, they just got Fultz. You have Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid. I mean, the key here is staying healthy with these guys. They brought in J.J. Redick, a veteran three-point shooter. So there's some talent, no question about it. But will they stay healthy? I think they are a playoff team, maybe like a six seed, something like that. And the Bucks also listed at 60-1 with the Greek Freak. So some other teams, sleepers maybe to keep an eye on. My prediction, drum roll provided by you, Golden State over Cleveland. I think that's going to be your matchup in the NBA Finals again. Sorry, but I'm looking to be right, okay? And they're the two best teams. I'm not one of these media bobbleheads that's going to go out and pick a team like the Timberwolves to win the NBA championship just to get noticed. Or I'm not going to go out and pick the Wizards to win the NBA title. I'm not going to do it. I know who the best teams are. Golden State, Cleveland, they're the best teams. Now, you have some other really good teams. Houston, Oklahoma City, San Antonio. I talked about the Celtics. But I'm just trying to be right here. I'm not trying to be Mr. Trendy McTrenderson, Mr. Cool, Mr. Hey, look at me, set off fireworks so everybody notices me by picking somebody like the Raptors to win the NBA title or even get there. Not going to do it. So it may be bland, may not be an exciting pick, but I'm going Golden State over Cleveland again. And that would be three championships in 4 years for the Warriors. Your predictions are welcome on Twitter. Who do you like in the East? Who do you like in the West? Who do you like to win it all? Let me know at the Sports RPT. I'm at the Sports RPT on Twitter. Man, oh man, oh man, this is a busy show. All right, let's get to baseball. I have zero issue with low-scoring games. I know some people just want to go see home runs. I think it adds to the drama when it's low-scoring. And that's what we're getting right now. Good pitching will beat good hitting. Yankees lost the first two games of the ALCS 2-1 to the Astros. And Houston is a better team. And that's coming from a Yankees fan. Dallas Keuchel, game one, 7 innings. 4 hits, 10 strikeouts, only 1 walk. Game two, Justin Verlander, who was a huge pickup. They needed to get another starter, and they did. He throws a complete game, 13 strikeouts, only 1 walk, and he gave up 5 hits. So in the first two games, the Yankees have struck out 23 times, and they only have 9 hits. Ouch. Jose Altuve scored in the ninth from first base on a double by Carlos Correa. Didi Gregorius needs to get that throw to Sanchez in the air. I've heard some people bashing Gary Sanchez, the catcher. That's a tough short hop right there. That wasn't a long hop. That was a short hop. I'm not putting it on Gary Sanchez. And I know Gregorius got bumped into it short. He's got to get that throw from second base in the air. If he does, Altuve is out. Something nobody's talking about. Why did they send him there? If that's even a decent throw, he is out. The throw beat him. It was just a short hop. Sanchez couldn't dig it out. He would have been out. And there was only one out there. There wasn't 2 outs in that situation. Why was he sent? Man, oh man, that was a risky move by Houston. Because Judge caught it off, cut it off in the gap. I don't know why they sent him. But they lucked out there. In the National League Championship Series, Cubs were held to 4 hits in a 5-2 loss at L.A. Kershaw only went 5 innings. I keep waiting for him to have a breakout game. It's not happening. He gave up 4 hits, 2 runs, struck out only 4. And then game 2, Sunday night. What drama here. Dodgers win it 4-1. Justin Turner, fear the beard, walk off 3-run homer to center, 2 outs off of John Lackey. Turner 2-for-4. He drove in all 4 runs for the Dodgers. Cubs, again, could not hit. 3 hits. They faced Rich Hill and 4 relief pitchers. Big difference here at the end of the game. Chicago's got to bring back a starter in John Lackey. He's not used to that. The Dodgers have Kenley Jansen, one of the best closers in baseball out there. So game 3, Tuesday night at Wrigley Field. And I think Justin Turner's an incredible story. This guy was with the Mets from 2011 to 2013 and was a 260, 280 type of hitter with no power. He had 8 total home runs in 3 seasons. He goes out to L.A., And he's an all-star. He's a stud. He hit 340 in 2014, his first season out there. He's got 48 homers in his last 2 years. I mean, it is incredible how Justin Turner has totally changed up his career. I mean, it is amazing. That's a great story. And he had the big home run. He's a guy you don't want to face in a tight spot. I'm not in love with the Dodgers lineup, to be honest, after their top three hitters. But man, oh man, oh man, Turner with a big home run off of Lackey. So the Dodgers in command now. But, you know, now they have to go on the road for the first time. So we'll see what the Cubs do. They got to start hitting, though. Game three, Tuesday night. Let me know what you think about the show on Twitter. Again, I'm at the Sports RPT. Please keep the 5-star reviews coming for those of you who listen in the podcast section of iTunes. We appreciate those. Help to promote the show. And you can catch me every Monday, 30-40 minutes, high energy, opinionated sports talk without homerism. That's what this show is all about. That'll do it for this week's edition of the podcast. Hope you have a great week. I'll check in again with you next Monday. This has been episode number 491 of the Sports Report. I'm Paul Roberts on GrizzlyProductions.tv and iTunes.